Hi, I'm Taylor Ward, and you're listening to Halfway Around the Halo.
Fires the first. The Angels have no hit. The Seattle Mariners racing back to the track. Gone! Big fly for Mike Trout. There it is. Hit number 3,000 for Albert Pujols. Gone! Big fly, Ohtani shot. Wall Trout leaps up, and he got it! Oh, my! Taylor has no hit. The Minnesota Twins.
The Angels, world champions.
Hello, everyone. It is opening day. Baseball is back. And we're here with Season 6, Episode 4 of Halfway Around the Halo, the LA Angels UK podcast. I am Nick Wright, your host, and I'm delighted to be joined once again by Toby Barnes. Toby, how are you doing this evening?
I'm good. I'm really excited because as we're recording this, it is
the opening day eve. So yeah, I'm looking very, very excited to get the season properly underway.
You've spoiled the suspense there because I probably wasn't going to put this up until tomorrow just with time to edit. So we are recording the day before opening day, but when you're listening to this, it's opening day and beyond, and we are absolutely buzzing for it. Do you know what else we're buzzing for though, Toby? Because I have actually been joined by another guest today, and he retired from the podcast 3 episodes ago, but comes around to episode 4 and he wants back in. So, Dave Evans, how are you doing this evening?
I'm good, mate. It's an absolute honour and a privilege to sit here with Toby. And, it's pretty decent to see you again, mate.
Yeah, well, it's nice to see you too. We'll actually be probably putting this up on YouTube so everyone gets to see your lovely face. You're not decked out in the Halo gear today, though.
No, mate. I'm in half pyjamas and a jumper at the moment. I'm ready for bed. So,
Is that why we're head up only at the moment?
A little bit of a different vibe. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I thought so. We got quite a bumper episode for you today because whilst the three of us are just going to talk Angels baseball and what we predict for the season ahead, as we know, like, spring is done, off-season is done, we're ready to go. We're ready tomorrow, rain permitting, for baseball to happen. So we're going to chat all through that. But also we've got on a special guest later, the MP for Nottingham North, Alex Norris, who is a big Baltimore Orioles fan. You'll hear all about his story. We preview the pod, talk a bit of the Orioles and connection between them and the Angels, and we're going to chat through that later, me and Toby. But for now, let's kick this off and start talking about the season upcoming. Who wants to jump in first? Let me know how you're feeling ahead of this first series and just what we're going to see the year ahead.
Well, as is the guest, let's get Dave go first and see what I can bring back.
Well, obviously, at this stage of the season, guys, you know I've got to be unridiculously optimistic about our season ahead. I've scaled it back a little bit this year. It's a transitional year. I think we all know that. We're hoping for some improvements in our rotation. And, I'm looking for improvements there more than anything. We haven't massively improved, like, lineup-wise, with the bats. So, I think we've got to say we're looking for internal growth. I think the best term might be for some of those youngsters coming through. And, see what happens and just got to try and enjoy it. I'm not expecting too much, so you can't get too disappointed.
Internal growth, I can tell you're in the corporate world now because that sounds like something you've been saying on a day-to-day basis in the office, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
I mean, you're not wrong. I think Toby and I in the first 3 episodes of this season have kind of just gone through everything that's wrong about the franchise right now, everything that we're feeling negative about, everything where we haven't seen any improvements, and actually the team's probably got a little bit worse. So I don't think we need to rehash that today or go over that today because I think it's all out there. I think people know our feelings on where the ownership is right now, where we think the direction the team is with the minors, the development, scouting, the stadium, minor league stadium, everything that goes with it. We know there is a lot of room for improvement there. But you like to be positive, Dave. And so we're going to try and do that positive spin today. And Toby, what are like the 3 things, I guess, going into this year that you are really optimistic about?
3 things that I'm optimistic about. I would say that the potential of kind of the young guys that we've got coming through. So kind of, I feel like it's been repeated by everyone kind of in and out of the Angels that Ohapi, Neto, Shanawell, excited to see how they do with hopefully full and healthy seasons. Obviously, we know that Ohapi got injured quite early on. Neto struggled with his back and Shanawell only came up towards the end of the year, but he's obviously struggled with his back through spring. So hopefully that they can stay healthy and excited to see how they do. I'm optimistic and excited, I think, for a healthy Mike Trout. I think a healthy Mike Trout is, obviously we know he's a perennial all-star, but hopefully can get back to an MVP level. And then a third thing that I'm optimistic about is the growth of the starting rotation. I think that while right now we don't have a clear number one, that we can progress. And I think one of the younger guys, whether it's kind of Detmers or Canning or Sandoval, who can hopefully have a bounce back year, can get up to being a frontline starter kind of guy that can be consistently relied upon.
There we go. I think there might be quite a few back problems with that trio over the next couple of years if they're carrying the team in the way I think they're going to have to. But I take your point in the rotation. Actually, a guy you didn't mention there, Chase Silseth, who I don't know if anybody saw the third game of the freeway series last night. Couple of mistake pitches from him to give up a couple of runs, but 10 Ks and he was mowing them down. The top of this Dodgers lineup is no joke. It is probably the best lineup in baseball. And Silseth was having his way with them. So room for optimism there?
Yeah, I think so. I saw a Pitching Ninja put together a nice compilation of his splitters that just looked kind of, they were just dying towards the end. So they look really good. Obviously seen that he struck out Ohtani twice. Blew it past him the one time and then threw him an off-speed pitch to get him through. So his mix looks there. So yeah, he could be potentially a bit of a sneaky one to have a good year.
And Dave, Toby's just mentioned the O word there and we haven't touched on it yet. I tried to ignore it in the intro. But if you were a gambling man, what do you think would happen with Ohtani's season this year now he's left the Angels? And more importantly, what did you think of that whole story?
I feel like we can't mention if you're a betting man or not with the Ohtani story. I feel like you've just
that was the plan. That was the point. Dave,
what can we say about that? Not very much at the moment, I would say. I'm probably not going to put my voice to too many opinions in regards to all of that. I have to admit, but in regards to Silseth's performance last night, yeah, I actually had a little note down. He's going to be our best pitcher by the end of this year. I'm going to put it out there. Yeah, I love that stuff which we saw last night against the Dodgers. I know it's spring training and it doesn't matter, but you know, I think you see that at the back end of last year, the way he was going about it. I'm telling you, we've got a bunch of number threes and number fours. Someone's got to rise up, and out of the two, it's Detmers and Silseth. In my opinion, I'm liking where Silseth's starting at the moment. So let's see.
Dave's got his buzzwords in early there. It's only spring training. He loves that one. But also, a hot take out the gate. Chase Silseth, our best pitcher. And you know what? As we said, there's no real separation between them at the moment. Why not? Why not Chase?
You thinking, Toby?
Yeah, I think any of the young guys can step through. It just depends on which one, I guess, wants it the most and who can stay the most consistent. I feel like that's the big thing for all young guys, whether it's a pitcher or with a bat, is just the consistency. And that's kind of so hard to come by. If you get someone that does that, then you never know where they're going to be.
I don't know about you guys. Obviously, you've been around for a few episodes and I've only just jumped back in. But, you know, the coaching staff that we've now got to work with these guys as well, that's got to make a massive difference compared to where we were last year when, you know, you could argue Sandy and Detmers step backwards more than anything. Surely it can only get better, and with Ron at the helm with his team as well, that's going to help these young guys going forward
without a doubt. We have talked about this, and I think my position is, yes, you're spot on. I don't think Ron Washington is a bad hire. I think it's a very good hire. I think he should help these guys develop. I think that he was the right man to lead this unit right now, and probably the only good thing that we've done all off-season. However, my point was, when people were really celebrating this hire, a manager, in my view, never has made much of a difference in baseball. I think it's the most overhyped, and I could be completely wrong on this, and I'm sure there's going to be people that don't agree with me at all. But you know my feelings on this, Dave. I just don't think a manager makes huge amounts of difference over the course of a season. And it's not just the manager we've brought in. It is a whole new coaching staff, isn't it? Even in the minors, even in the majors. And maybe that makes a difference across the board where we see some improvements with the development that's going on. But ultimately, whilst I love the Ron Washington hire, this franchise is not in a place where a manager which can maybe impact 2 to 3 games a year max makes a big difference to where the team goes. So yes, I agree with you, but also just urging caution, I guess, that I don't always think that we should take this positive and just blow it up into something that it probably won't be.
But that's my middle name, though, isn't it? That's what I bring to the party. So, come on.
Toby, what are your thoughts on Washington now you've seen him all the way through spring?
I'm liking the energy that he brings and seems to have. He seems to be completely infectious. That the kind of the everyone in and around him says how great he is, and it looks like it's just spreading through the whole team. And I feel like a happy team is a winning team, and everything. Like some say, kind of you can't have one without the other. So I think that they are going to potentially put in a few more wins than maybe we initially thought, just because that morale just looks so high right now.
Yeah, you speak of morale. Even the little things last night with Moniak. Throwing the water over Neto after his triple in the ninth to win it. That kind of thing. That's what we want to see. We want to see fun. But Dave and I have gone down this path previous years where the team looks like they're having a great time. They're having fun. There's a good bond and everything's going really well. And then suddenly it all just collapses. So once again, like, I don't want to be this negative downer, but I have seen this before. I've seen the fun in the dugout. I mean, I think Otani brought a lot of it with the guys, but ultimately, it hasn't led anywhere. And I actually wrote a piece earlier today, season preview for Batflips and Nerds, which I think has just gone up. And I sort of talked about last year, and they wanted to dig into last year before we got into this year. And actually, I think because we're now, what, 6 months, 7 months removed from it, it's quite hard to remember just how bad things were last year in terms of injuries. And whilst I don't want to make excuses, and as I said earlier, there's so many other problems with this franchise right now, the injuries last year were absolutely insane. The players we lost for such large periods of time, how are we ever supposed to do well in August and September when you're missing 5-6 of your best players over months at a time?
Yeah, I saw a nice piece on The Athletic just talking about a season preview. And they said that the Angels just hope. And it's kind of hope that everyone will be healthy and hope that they can have the progression this year. And I feel like that's kind of what you do every year. You hold you cross your fingers and hope that everyone can stay healthy. Obviously, we know how much kind of the expensive guys on the team have just spent sat on the injured list. So it's kind of hoping that they stay healthy and kind of hoping that everyone else can return to a healthy season. Obviously, we, like you said, pretty much everyone top to bottom at least missed a few kind of at least double-digit games last year. So yeah, just need, like I say, just hope that they can stay healthy and get back to being productive.
Yeah, you talked about Mike Trout there as well earlier and staying healthy as one of your positives, and we all hope so. Dave, what do you expect from Trout this year? Because spring hasn't been great. He hasn't been healthy for 4 years. He's clearly getting older and declining a bit from the god that he was. What do you actually expect from Trout this year? What do you think is a good year from him, health dependent?
Well, trying to stay healthy would be a good year to start with. I mean, something that was supposed to take too long out last year turned out to be a season ender pretty much. So, you know, yes, he is getting older. Yes, he has been injured every year. It was a freak one last year, though. It wasn't like a muscle injury or anything like that. It was an impact injury, and it happens. So, it's still Mike Trout until he's Mike Trout no more. And hope, like you've just been talking about, and that's all we can do. Right now, I think he's still got it. It's his decision if he ever moves out of center field. He probably maybe has that 1 year left in there if he's not being fit. If he goes injured, I think the DH spot being open will be a massive thing for him and a certain third baseman as well. And, you know, hopefully that will help him stay on the field a lot longer. But hitting wise, you know, he I can't even remember what his stats were by the end of the start of last year, but
not great.
You know, it's still Mike Trout. Yeah, but he's still Mike Trout, though. I'm still going to back him, and hopefully people around him can support him as well. But he won't be able to do it all himself. That's it.
Absolutely. I think that thing has been clear throughout his whole career. As superhuman as he can be, you can't do it yourself. Toby, I'll put the same question to you then. And with the caveat, he stays healthy all year. What is a good season for Mike Trout if he stays healthy all year in the current form of Mike Trout that I think we see?
I think just a return to kind of, if you can split the difference between the best seasons he's had and kind of the seasons he's had in between, if you can kind of average about 270, 280 and get kind of upwards of 30 home runs and 90 batted in, I think that's kind of what you consider a good season. And obviously everything above that, if he's healthy, he's like, oh, he's kind of back to where he was. But kind of, you expect him to get a little bit older. We touched upon it earlier in the season as well, or earlier in our podcast about Mike Trout actually from the DH spot when he has been there hasn't done that well. So yeah, maybe it's maybe it's a psyche thing or something, but yeah, I think he needs to be on the field to be batting well as well. So hopefully that can continue.
And maybe steal a few bags if Spring's anything to go by. He stole one, didn't he? So you never know. Let's get him running again. Let's get him in his groove and bring in another tool back to the table. Speaking of DHs, though, another guy that got named to the team yesterday, Miggy Sanoh. What do you feel about that one? I mean, it's a great story, I think. Basically out of baseball the whole of last year, lost a lot of weight, looks in great shape, absolutely hit the cover off the ball in spring. Are you happy he's made the team from what you've seen?
Dave, do you want to take this one? Have you seen much of training?
Yeah, doing it for the over 30s. I love it. As I say, now he's came into camp in good shape, and he's deserved his spot. What great story, great contract, and what's the worst case scenario that's going forward now? He performs well up to the deadline, flipping for a young arm or something like that, and then, he might get something out of it. So, good deal. And it's what you're hoping for, isn't it? You're getting out of these minor league deals, spring training invites, stuff like that. See what hits. He starts the camp. Let's see how he starts off.
Yeah, I think there's potentially a few shrewd moves that the Angels have made, signing guys who have either not been in the league, like Sanoh, or guys who have had off years and then potentially bounced back. Adam Simbers look really good as well. So if you can get some guys that are on cheap, almost kind of prove it deals, but kind of just coming back and getting into some kind of form, that's all you can ask for. And like you say, if they are going to be worth something come the deadline, then the hope is to get a couple of prospects. If the team goes how everyone's predicting it and we're not going to win many games and be a seller at the deadline, you at least want some people to be playing well. And Sanoh's potentially one that on a really cheap deal as well, so he's not going to scare off a lot of teams with his contract, like someone like Rendon would be if he was playing well and wanted to flip in, which is basically impossible. But someone like Sanoh could easily get a nice return.
And the other guy there, who's on this sort of prove it deal, really, is getting paid a lot of money, just not by the Angels, is Aaron Hicks, a guy that's had another big spring and earned a job effectively. Looks like the Halos are going to carry 5 outfielders into the season with Adele and Moniak alongside the 3 starters, Hicks, Trout and Ward. What have you made of Hicks, what he brings to the team, and whether you think that's a role he's going to keep for the season, or whether you think this is like an early season thing and then Moniak or Adele will probably play the bulk of the time?
I think it's going to be a case of he'll start the season, and if he kind of does struggle a bit, or if one of the young guys starts playing well, I think they'll easily take his spot. It's not fully locked in for the year. I think as soon as a young guy starts playing well or he drops off, then they'll swap. But I think it will also be quite lineup dependent as to whether he plays or not. But he's done well. He's earned his place. For me, I think I would have rather seen Moniak or Adele have that as an everyday spot because they need playing time. They need to kind of develop at the major league level even more so, especially Joe Adele. So yeah, a little bit unhappy that there's been a spot taken by them, essentially, by Hicks. But yeah, if he plays well, then I guess no qualms.
And Dave, what do you think about Joe Adele's role leading on from that this year? I mean, he is basically the forgotten man. He's effectively on this roster because he's out of options and still too much of a prospect name, I think, to really give up on. But it's make or break for him, but yet does he get the at-bats he needs? Because even that DH spot we've just spoken about, there's a few guys there vying for at-bats. You've got Sanoh, but you've also got Moniak, who will probably be in there a lot of the time if he's not playing the field. What do you think the future holds for Joe?
I mean, it's a tough spot again. You don't look into too much of it, but he didn't walk much in spring. He struck out a lot, and it's the same swing and miss. Defensively, I suppose he's better, but there's always going to be that question mark just from a bias from history. Big year. And, he could find him an odd man out quite soon and used, if anything. The name holds some weight still. It is still Joe Adele. I just want him to figure it out. I want him to be that guy. I want him to have the opportunity. And when he does take it, because, he's athletic, he's decent, but he's just hasn't worked out for him, has it? Just hasn't worked out. He was rushed up all those years ago now. I mean, what are we talking about? 4 or 5 years ago, they brought him up, and he's trying to be learning it on the fly. So, rough times. It's going to be a lot of pressure when he's going up to bat.
Yeah, firstly, when you say the word decent, I can't help but do the Joe Hart decent thing every time I hear that word. You know the clip? Decent! But anyway, that's going on in my head whilst you're talking, which is a distraction for everything else. But on Adele, I've got to be honest, I'm going to put my cards on the table here and say he will either be DFA'd or traded by the end of May. I just don't think he's going to be able to do it consistently. I don't think he's going to get the at-bats. I think the struggles are going to remain there. And ultimately, we cannot carry five outfielders. When the injuries start striking, you know, when people go down, when you need an extra infielder, when you need players, replacement players, I don't think you can carry a passenger like that that hasn't shown enough at the majors. So I really hope I'm wrong, as always. He's a top, former top prospect. He's got the power. We've seen what he can do in the minors. Haven't seen anything at major league level yet. And I just don't see how the Halos can carry him for too long. And that ultimately means, I mean, you can try and send him down, but he's going to get claimed. So I think you're looking for a trade partner for middle relief or something like that.
Yeah, I think you're kind of hoping that you get something like we got when we traded Brennan Marsh, just get a straight swap with another prospect who's kind of stuck in another organization kind of deep down, and hoping that you can get something similar to that. But I don't know if Adele, if the name carries enough, because he's not really proven it. But I guess Marsh was a below average hitter but had the defense, whereas Adele doesn't really have the defense. So it's kind of just hoping that you can get at least something back, because yeah, I think that he could easily find himself off the roster if he doesn't play his way into it.
Yeah, and Moniak also seems to be a bit of a forgotten man this spring after last year and a breakout year. I think the introduction of Hicks has kind of like pushed Moniak aside slightly in people's thinking, but actually we know what he can do. We know the power he has and the ability he has with the bat, particularly obviously when he's not facing lefties. I think Moniak still is huge if this team is going to be successful this year. And I think that I'd like to see him getting the lion's share of at-bats still when we're facing a righty. I think he should be in there most nights.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think there's any other argument against it. I think he proved it last year. Obviously, kind of pretty much everyone tailed off towards the end of the year, and Moniak started off quite well. It's just hoping that he starts off well again and then continues that form through.
Do we want to talk about Anthony Rendon? Because I don't particularly. I just don't see the point. Like,
I think everything's ever been said about him, isn't it? Really? What's new? What's new to be said?
Dave, you'd have loved that when all the stuff broke early in the spring. You'd have been in your element talking about that. I think the point with Rendon is, and we've seen it in spring, even if he's healthy, is he even good at baseball anymore? Like, genuinely. He has no
power. It's been that long since we've watched him for a consistent amount of time. Who knows?
His legs look so weak. He looks like he has no power there. I just don't even understand that, even if he's healthy and at third base every day, I'm not buying it. I just don't see any performance. And this has got to be his last year.
How many years he got left? Is it two more?
Two, I think, isn't it?
I think it's three more. Including this year, he's got three more. He's got two more after this year.
Yeah, it's a lot of years, but I just don't want to talk about him.
No, move on.
Bad enough. I'll move on to your favourite player then, since we're going through this list, Dave. Luis Renjifo. Beefy
Renjifo. Love it.
What do you think here this year? He's gone back to sort of a utility role again, hasn't he?
Yeah, that's probably his best sort of position, really, for us. He can give you some value there. Playing a bit here, playing a bit there. Let's see if he can get the bat going earlier in the season when it's, you know, still important, not in the second half of the season when you're almost out of it. I think that's the nicest way of saying it all. You know, love his potential. Just want to see him do it earlier in the year when he gets those opportunities.
He's a big trade candidate though, isn't he? I think even if he does perform well at the deadline, he's the sort of guy that teams will be calling about. Still got control. We know he's got power. We know he's got some speed. He's the sort of guy, I think, probably, if we're out of it at the deadline, which, who knows, but it's probably more likely.
And obviously hits from both sides as well.
Yeah.
He's shown that he's got power from both sides, so he's really useful. And yeah, like you say, if the end's going to afford to lock him away until July and then just say, go and play, then yeah, brilliant. Because he just seems to wake up. As soon as the sun comes out and it gets warmer, Renjifo just starts to play well. But yeah, hopefully he can do it in colder weather.
And in front of him, and actually a guy I think that we just don't talk about enough as Angels fans, and I haven't really heard his name much during spring, even though he's been doing really well, we don't really talk about him as a productive run producer in this lineup, but Brandon Drury, I mean, despite all of the negative last year and the terrible season we ended up having, Brandon Drury was really good. Like, one of the best free agent signings we've made in quite a long time. And he's started off this year, again, in similar vein of form. What do you expect from Brandon this year?
I mean, I don't want to jinx anything because I'm really good at that. But, you know, you'd always caveat every hitting thing with the Angels outside of Otani and Trout, or outside of just Trout back in the day. Brandon Drury will be our best hitter going forward for the entire season.
That's a fair shout.
I mean, I think it was Taylor Ward for us last year, and until he had his face broken in half. And it was quite nice to see him back, by the way. And
Dave, can you use his full title, please?
Friend of the show, Taylor Ward.
Thank you very much.
I apologize.
Yeah, no, you're out of practice, I understand.
I know. Yeah, so and since, you know, it was great to see him back from his broken face. He was our shout, certainly my shout for last year. But yeah, that one's going to go with Brandon Drury this year. I think he's got good power. I think he's a little, you know, he's underrated massively in this lineup.
Toby?
Yeah, everything I've seen is that Drury's going to be open up as the DH, and it'll be Renjifo at second and Neto at shortstop. I think Drury would be fine kind of DHing or kind of being everyday second baseman. I think the defense is there a lot more consistently than Renjifo. Obviously, we've seen Renjifo have a lot of the mental mistakes, which Drury just doesn't seem to have. He's just kind of, he does have it, and hopefully he can put up another kind of 25-plus home runs again this year.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think the metrics would probably support Renjifo over Drury, I think, in terms of range. But as you say, you never quite know what you're going to get with Giffey, do you? So, yeah, I don't know. Thing is, if you do that approach and you put Renjifo in and Drury in the DH, then you're losing both of those outfielders, as we've just spoken about. So that's the challenge I think we have. And against lefties, it makes a bit more sense. But on the bulk of games, I don't know. It's nice problems to have, ultimately. These are good problems to have for the Angels. And actually, I don't think, whilst people don't really seem to be talking about it, I don't think, fingers crossed, the hitting is the primary concern this year. I do think, even without Otani, there is still, if everyone's healthy, still plenty of talent up and down that lineup. And actually, I think we're going to play a different brand of baseball this year, really. I don't think we have the home run power necessarily, but I do think we have guys that can drive people in. You look at someone like Nolan Shanuel, for example, that's what he's going to do. He's going to run produce. He's going to drive people in. Zach Neto can do it. Ohopi's got some power, but he can do it. Drury got power, but can do it. Like, these guys can definitely score some runs and score some runs in bulk for us. So I guess I'm getting to that point where I'm a little bit optimistic about how we're going to hit. Problem is, we're probably going to concede quite a lot of runs, and we're going to have to hit really, really well to win games. But what can you do? We can't have it all with the Angels.
Yeah, that's it. You hit the nail on the head. I think that the starting lineup isn't actually as bad as people may think. We've just basically gone through most of the lineup, and there's a lot there. It's the pitching, it's the depth and the bullpen depth, and kind of we've spoken about it, kind of really beaten to death the inflexibility that we have with the pitching as well, and it's kind of something that will probably creep up. And the bullpen, while we've added to it, it has been a few older names, mm-hmm. So the injuries are probably going to strike with the older players. So it's just whether they can manage that effectively.
Yeah, we haven't talked about the bullpen huge amounts today, but Robert Stevenson, our big free agent signing, is already injured, and who knows where he's going to be? Probably on IL to start the year then. A few of the other guys, Matt Moore, I'm glad he's back. We need Carlos Estevez to bounce back from the second half last year and be the closer he was in the first half. There's still a lot of uncertainty there, isn't there? Interesting that Jose Soriano seems to have made the team, despite the fact the Angels have been stretching him out as a starter, and he's looked pretty good in that role. It is interesting that they're then going to put him in the bullpen and not let him pitch at AA and stay as a starter. So, surprised by that. Jose Suarez obviously is going to start in the pen as the swing man and probably be the first up into the rotation if we need him. But I keep telling people the bullpen's going to be a strength this year. I'm not sure I truly believe it myself, but I'm just trying to toe the party line a little bit, and it's where we've spent all our money. So we got to assume that Perry's going to get a few of these right, don't we?
Certainly need a couple of them to hit. I have to admit, I wasn't exactly jumping for joy when I saw Luis Garcia back. I remember 2019 spitting feathers most days. So, you know, yeah, volatility, we know all about it. So, you know, fingers crossed here.
Yeah. Toby?
Yeah, no, nothing more to add. I think, yeah, just, Dave said it was just going to be quite volatile. I wouldn't be surprised if Soriano takes over from Suarez in the kind of swingman role, since they've been stretching out. But obviously Suarez is out of options now, so he's one that if they decide they don't really want him, then he'll have to be DFA'd or traded. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Soriano, from what he's shown, ends up stepping up into that kind of swingman role.
I think so, and that just gives us a bit of time to take a moment just to remember Jaime Barria and everything he gave to the Angels franchise. He's gone, but not forgotten in my heart and Dave's heart. And Toby, you can join the Barria fan club if you
want. Yeah, the energy was just unmatched. I remember when I was there, and he was kind of one of my favorite. The favorite guy that I saw on the mound was Barria. Aaron Loop just gave me palpitations in a bad way. Barria gave me palpitations in a good way.
Yeah, he certainly got the heart going, didn't he? He certainly got the blood flowing around the body. So good luck to Barria in everything he has to come next. All right, let's get to this stage then, where I'm just going to fire off a few questions about the Angels this year, and you're going to give me your answers. So start off with a nice simple one. Who is going to lead the Angels in home runs this year?
Brandon Drury, because I don't, as much as I'm hoping that Trout stays healthy, don't believe he can. So I think it'll be Drury that leads leads team home runs.
And how many?
31.
Big D?
I was going to go with Drury again, especially after what I said earlier about him. 31's are great, but I'll take the over slightly on 33. There you go.
Okay. I'm going to go Mike Trout. I'm going to go Mike Trout. I'm going to say he stays healthy enough, and he hits 38.
Yeah, okay. He's got a history of hitting home runs. You might be right.
Yeah, he's not a bad player, is he? Next one then. Who is going to lead the team in wins?
Reed Detmers is going to lead the team in wins. He's going to have 12.
Dave, I know your answer here, but...
Yeah, of course you do. I'm going with Chase Hill. So, 11 though. You're going to go with 11.
And I'm going to go with a surprising answer here. And I'm going to go with Tyler Anderson with 13 wins. I just feel like he's going to be one of those pitchers that just doesn't deserve to get a win, but it's going to get a win. We're going to win lots of games like 8-6 and 7-5, and he's going to give up 5 earned, but get through enough to gain a win. I just got a feeling. So a bounce back year for old Andy.
Whatever you're spoken, you can pass that round.
Nah, we got to back our boys.
I agree with him.
We got to back our boys. Yeah. All right, who's going to steal the most bases for the Halos this year?
Zach Neto. And he's going to have 17 stolen bases.
Ooh. Dave?
We've not got much to work on, have we, over the last few years? It's on who's actually going to go running. Mike Trout, let's go. He's going to actually start running again.
How many?
25. I don't know.
25 stolen bags for Trouty. Wow.
Yeah, why not?
Hasn't he got that in like the last 5 years combined?
If that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just doesn't run, yeah, the old stop sign, didn't he?
Wow. Okay. I probably really like the Neto shout, but I will try and mix it up. And I will go, if he stays with the team, Luis Renjifo with 14. But
I would say Joe Adell, but he's not going to play enough.
That's my worry. There's definitely a few guys they're going to get running, but I think Neto's a really good shout. It is probably going to be him.
Yeah, we don't have a speedster on the bench like Tyler Wade just to be a pinch runner.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad about that.
Sano, I don't think he's going to be stealing many bases off the bench.
I don't think so. Okay, who is going to drive in the most runs for the Halos this year?
I think Mike Trout might get the most RBIs. I think he's going to have 91.
Nice. Dave?
I'm going Trouty as well, but I'm going to go into the hundreds, so 110.
Oh,
those boys are going to get in front of him, and he is going to bring them home.
Sounds like a good year for the Halos if Trout is driving in 110.
No one else is driving in anything. Just Trout.
Well, we've seen Trout's numbers like that before, and they've never been a good year. So, you know, I don't know what's going to change.
Yes, fair. Personally,
he will have a good season. It's just the rest of it.
I am going to go Nolan Chanuel, and he's going to get 96 runs batted in. And that's all he's going to do with 8 home runs.
That'll be an impressive year.
He's going to have a good year. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling good about Nolan. I like what he's done in the spring. I like his quirks and how weird his off-season was with the standing up. That just strikes ball player to me. You got to be a bit weird, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, he said that he was sitting down for meals. I'm like, you can stand up while you're eating as well. Like, I don't know why he just didn't commit the entire day to standing up.
Yeah, pathetic. Maybe I'll take it back then. If he can't commit to that, he's not committed to his craft enough, is he?
Yeah, giving himself breaks from standing up, like, come on, what kind of weak mentality is that? There's no way.
Yeah, fine. Take it back. You're out, Nolan. Gets to know at first base. All right. Most amount of Ks from a pitcher.
I think that Chase Silseth will probably get the most strikeouts. This is probably recency bias from what we saw against the Dodgers, but yeah, I think that his stuff just plays really well. I think he will get the most swing and misses as well.
I assume he's going to stick with him.
It's hard for me to disagree with that. You know, Chase is the guy, but that, you know, Reed Detmers, he's got the stuff to get up there. If, you know, if he does that properly, then that could be a little an interesting little challenge between the two of them.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Reed Detmers there. I think over the course of a season, he'll probably pitch more than Silseth does. I imagine Silseth won't be able to do the same sort of innings that Detmers can. Obviously, he hasn't done really a full season yet as a starter in the majors. So I assume he's going to be on some sort of pitch count as the year goes on, if he stays in the rotation. I mean, this all really depends on how successful he is. I'm sure as fifth starter, there's going to be a chance he doesn't remain there. But fingers crossed, I'm not right on that one. Okay. Best reliever.
For me, Matt Moore.
Yeah, Matt Moore. What did Dave go?
Soriano.
Yeah.
Right, that's a weird one. But I respect your opinion. Don't necessarily you think don't. It's going to be right. I don't. I never have. I like Matt Moore's shout. I mean, we saw what he could do last year before he got traded, and he's a good pitcher, or released. Yeah, I'm
obviously, hopefully, you'd want Stevenson to be your best reliever as the big money guy, but depends what he comes back. When he comes back healthy, if he can prove what he's done over the last couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. All right, that's my quick fire, unless anyone's got any more categories they want to throw in there.
Yeah, I've got one.
Here we go.
Which player will be the most surprising to you in either a good or a bad way?
For me, Patrick Sandoval, because I have such low expectation with him at the moment. I'm hoping that we can get him from a few years ago, gets it right mentally. You know, the coaching staff's going to help him out. Maybe the 5-man rotation is going to help him out. So, yeah, I'm not high on Sandy at the moment. So I'm hoping that's going to be a nice, pleasant improvement. And, yeah, that's my take.
Okay. I'm going to go with... It's a tough one. I don't think it's necessarily a surprise to me, but might be a surprise to other people. I'm going to go with Taylor Ward. I'm going to go with Taylor on his bounce back and showing just how good he can be that we've seen over parts of multiple years, but never in full. But I guess the surprise this year is going to be a full season of healthy Taylor Ward actually being an above average outfielder and lots of home runs, lots of runs batted in, and just a good piece in the middle of this Halos lineup. So, yeah, let's go with a bounce-back year for Wardy Boy, friend of the show.
Yeah, that's a good shout. And I think mine is going to be that Chanuel has some power and he hits kind of 15-plus home runs. That's going to be my big surprise for the year, that he actually finds some power.
If he hits 15-plus home runs, he is a top 10 first baseman in the major leagues, in my view. If he's finding enough power to hit 15 home runs, but with everything else we know that's in his game, he's going to make contact, he's going to drive people in. If he's then hitting 15 balls over the fences, that is a very, very good baseball player right there.
Yeah, and that'll be a big surprise to everyone. So yeah, that's why he's my pick.
Fair enough. All right, we come to it. I've put it off long enough. The last bit of the show is, how is this year going to go for the Halos? We've skirted around the edges. We've talked about the team. We talked about everything else. But cards on the table right now. What happens this year for the Halos? And Toby, I'll give you a chance to think because I'm going to come to the main man first. He's going to fill out the positive spin before we can shut him down. Dave, prediction for the year.
We're going to be coming fourth. And I'm not going to be saying we're getting 90 wins this year for the first time in 3 or 4 years. Look, 80 games, that's an improvement. You've got to be happy. If we can make 500, even better. But yeah, I'm going to say around 80.
You're going 80, 82. Okay. Toby?
I am going to stick with what I've seen the last 2 years. I think that the Angels do it a third year in a row and just get the same number of wins. Start off really well, as they've done the last 2 years, and just completely flame out. And it's going to have everyone hyped. We're going to be near the top of the division, kind of a couple of games back on probably the Astros for until at least May. And then come June, it's all going to fall apart.
Yeah, unfortunately, as I wrote earlier, if Ipe or Shohei are listening, the smart money is probably on a low 70s Halos win. Take the under on whatever it is. I'm going to go with 71 wins. I think this team has the potential to get to 500 if things go well and people stay healthy. I don't think the pitching's good enough to really do much beyond that. But I'm going to go with 71 because, as we know, this franchise is cursed and everybody will be injured by the middle of April. That is a lovely positive take for the start of the season. I'm going to have to just retract that. I might even cut it because everyone knows I say spring training and the end of the spring and the start of the season, the only time you can be positive about anything, whoever you support, you can spin it enough that things are going to go well. So actually, let's take all that back. Pretend I didn't say that. We're going to go with 86 wins and we're going to be pushing the wild card and just miss out.
Which season would disappoint you more? Would it be kind of getting enough wins to be over 500, but then miss the playoffs, or just have a bad season when you know and you have no hope kind of most of the year? Or would you rather have hope and then have that dash towards the end? What would you prefer?
Absolutely. At this stage, have hope and have it dashed. We need a winning season. We need to see good baseball. We need to see promises and promise being realized by these young players. We can see the potential. We need to start seeing the results. And so even if we did miss the playoffs, but we had a winning season, I'd be happy, to be honest. That's a stepping stone, and it might encourage ownership to dip a hand in the pocket again. You never know.
Or encourage new owners.
Well, that too, but I'm not going to get too optimistic. Let's not be silly now.
Is that a bit too optimistic at the start of the season for you?
Yeah, I think just a little bit. But yeah, so scrap everything I said first, even if that is really my thoughts. We're going 86. Dave's going 80, and you're going 73. Lovely stuff. All right, I want to end it there because I don't want this to go on too long. But we've got bonus content for you now. Dave's going to jump off. We got Alex Norris MP coming on to talk about the Baltimore Orioles series. Really excited for you to hear that one. It's a great chat. And yeah, we're going to try and do this more regularly. It's opening day today when you're listening to this. Halos Baseball is back. We've just beaten Corbin Burns. We're on a roll. We're 1,000. We're going to win it all. And the Halos are the greatest team in the world. Toby, Dave, do you agree?
Always. Never in
Absolutely.
Doubt.
Absolutely. Yes.
There we go. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Before you listen to the next part, please do go subscribe if you haven't subscribed already. This will be up on YouTube as well, so go subscribe there and watch it. If you want to see our pretty average faces, there's content for you there.
And mine.
Wow. I'm including you in all of it. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, both of you, for coming on. And go Halos. And now the season predictions are out the way, we're going to jump straight into that prediction and that discussion we've been telling you about this first series with the Baltimore Orioles coming up. The excitement is here. Opening day is tomorrow as we're recording this. And so to bring you some extra special content, we've got the MP for Nottingham North, Alex Norris, since 2017, but more importantly, a huge Baltimore Orioles fan. Alex, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. I similarly cannot wait for opening day. I'm not sure it's going to be tomorrow, though. I've been watching the rain with sort of manic energy, and it's a bit cuspy at the moment.
Yeah, I've been bookmarking Orioles fan I know in Baltimore who keeps giving weather updates from the local area. And it seems like we might get away with it and the rain will stop before opening pitch, first pitch. So we'll see. But obviously before this series, I think it's probably worth just pointing out and just paying our tributes to the scenes in Baltimore this week. I think particularly pertinent with this series coming up and the tragedy that's occurred there. And thankfully, to be honest, it looks like a lot of lives have been spared by some quick thinking, but either way, just horrific for the city. And I know it's a city you're close to, Alex. So just pretty horrifying news to wake up to, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Just dreadful. I think it's going to be quite a poignant opening day. I think it's going to be very heavy on people's minds. It also comes off the back last weekend. Peter Angelos, longtime Orioles owner, passed away. And, you know, he had a profound impact, obviously, on the franchise. Mm-hmm. Owned it for over 30 years until very, very recently. So I think there'll be quite a lot of emotions around, you know, on what would always be a day of excitement. But I think that will put add an extra dimension on the day.
Absolutely, yeah. And I mean, I guess from an Angels point of view, it's going to be a challenging environment to go into, particularly with the way the Orioles played last year and how they're looking this year. But before we get onto that, Alex, why Baltimore? Why the Orioles? And why baseball?
Yeah, I mean, I love baseball. It came to me first. I don't think this is an uncommon story, but at university, you know, there was something great about something that was on every night and late. So you come back in from wherever you've been on night out and there's always baseball on. So that's great for a start. And we started, there were three of us, and we were just watching games. Mike done a bit of betting. And then we thought...
Very topical on this podcast, Alex.
Very good. Oh, good. And then I mean, it's terrible, worst sport in the world to bet on baseball. That's, you know, it's a very easy way to lose your money. And so we thought, well, we need a team. You know, we can't just watch whatever games on Channel 5 or whatever. So we need a team, and we drew it out of a hat and drew the Orioles out of a hat and got into it. And that was 22 years ago now. We've done an awful lot of losing in that time, a lot of losing. I've watched a lot of losses. But now things are on the upswing. It's seeming like a reasonable investment of time and emotional energy.
Absolutely. The winning always makes you forget about all those losing seasons when you have those high moments. Who did the others draw out the hat out of curiosity?
No, we were all together. We'd all been stick as one.
And have the other two stuck with it?
Well, so it then translated later on into the Baltimore Ravens, the NFL. And certainly for one of our number, that holds greater interest. Still pretty manically fans of the Ravens. And sadly, the third, Alex, passed away just before opening day last season. But he was a huge Orioles fan right till he passed. More than that Ravens games, but he made a point of going every season to watch the O's at Camden Yards. So it got under our skin, I think it's safe to say.
Yeah, as it tends to do.
Yeah, I mean, kind of when I was starting to get into baseball, the Orioles, I was very much one, I didn't have a clue about baseball, and I just looked at like which team's logos were the best, and the Orioles were definitely up there on one of the that were the best I was going to go, but then eventually made it out to a couple of games and then ended up choosing the Angels from who I saw. So I think the Orioles might have been a close second if I was just picking on logos, as superficial as that sounds.
Yeah, that's entirely reasonable. I mean, I have to say, I'm never sure orange looks good on anybody. there's a lot of orange.
I didn't want to say it, but I think you can pull it off, Alex, honestly.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
They do say orange is the new black, so it's fine.
Right, fair dues. Fair dues.
So last year then, let's talk about that first. 2 years ago, you finally had a winning record again, I think, with, was it 83, 84 wins. Then last year, this explosion, 101 wins, just an incredible season. The young guys coming up, everything seemingly starting to come together. We know the playoffs were a step too far at that stage for a young team, as it turned out. And I know, actually, they were taking place during Labour Party conference last year, weren't they? So that must have been a challenge in itself to follow. But how was last year, and what do you feel about it now as you head into the 2024 season?
Yeah, I mean, it was a great season. I absolutely loved it. Winning 100 games, having seen us lose 100 games many times, it really beats the alternative. It's been in the pipeline. I think it probably came a year sooner than we thought. So did going back to a winning record probably came a year sooner than we thought. You know, this is part of a long-term plan in Baltimore. This is no kind of alignment of the stars. There was a lot of tanking. Mm-hmm. In order to build the talent base up, and the talent base has started to come. You know, they have a couple of good veteran guys help as well along the way, but largely the story was young guys, particularly Adley Rutschman as catcher, but Gunnar Henderson, American League Rookie of the Year, looks like he's got the chops to be a perennial MVP candidate. Certainly now Shohei's in the National League.
Yeah.
So sorry for bringing that up too soon. I mean, they're. If I was being really honest, you know, we were by far the best team with runners in scoring positions, numbers-wise. Now, I know this would divide sabermetricians watching this, but you'll never convince me that's a repeatable skill. That somehow, I don't really believe players become more clutch. I think maybe some are better at the end than others, but not in a really repeatable way that makes a meaningful difference to more than a game or two. So that probably will come down to earth. We also had a lot of success in one-run games, which, again, normally, perhaps you'd say we got a really good bullpen, which I don't think we had. The bullpen's been the weakness of the team. So I think there's perhaps room for that to come down, but I still think you're looking at 90 wins and a pretty decent tilt at the division title. So this is set up to be an excellent year again. We're very optimistic, I think.
Yeah, you say 90 wins like it's nothing. I mean,
Yeah, it's very high aspirations, I would say, considering what we think is going to happen to the Angels season, 90 wins. But obviously, you say about the bullpen, obviously added Craig Kimbrell. Mm. So he's going to strengthen the Orioles, potentially might see him tomorrow. And then obviously Corbin Burns coming in as well. He's going to do a lot, I think, for the Orioles. And unfortunately for us, we have to face him tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, the Burns addition's huge. That's the biggest trade for the Orioles since like Reggie Jackson 40 years ago. It just hasn't been part of the model. You know, the assets down on the farm are incredible. There are, you know, plenty more where that came from. Burns is a really good fit. As much as we would like, you know, the ownership to go and put a big multi-year deal in for Montgomery or Snell or one of the other guys, that was never going to happen. So this is great. Much better than we could have. We spent less than you know Dylan Cease would have gone for. So, and he's a better pitcher than Cease. So that's a huge addition. Kimbrell, I don't like veteran air relievers. I think bullpen again is another inexact science as to who's good 1 year to the next. So we'll see. As I say, I think that's probably the weakness. I mean, you guys get a bit of a break. Actually, playing as early in the season is probably the best time. Kyle Bradish isn't fit, obviously well known to Angels fans. He would have been the number two guy, but he's got a dreaded elbow strain. They don't think it's Tommy John, but it's always Tommy John in the end, isn't it? So he's not there. John Means isn't ready yet as well, our three guys. So you'll see a slightly weaker rotation, but I mean, Grayson Rodriguez will be Saturday's pitcher and another rookie kind of phenom, and obviously Burns. But you might have a chance on Sunday against Tyler Wells. Tyler goes either one way or the other, but also, and this is strange, and you'll definitely have no sympathy here, but that actually the spirits on the message boards are quite low about the Orioles at the moment, because fans are really upset that a number of our top prospects got sent down to AAA and we still seem to be gaming service time rules, which is a little frustrating. Jackson Holliday, you know, best prospect in baseball, left-handed hitting second baseman. And we picked up Tony Kemp yesterday, left-handed thing. So, now, Tony Kemp, by all accounts, is a nice guy. Great on the bases, but can't get on base. And a great fielder, but, you know, and as much as there's Holliday, there's another three or four guys, all of whom we thought would make the roster and make this a very exciting team. And that's clearly going to be a couple of months away because of those other kind of considerations. So maybe this isn't a bad week to players.
Yeah, you made a few really interesting points there. I just want to pick up on. I think on Corbin Burnes, and you talked about the trade, and I think it's an incredible trade for you and just the sort of frontline pitcher that every rotation needs. But there is no long-term contract there. He's sort of pitching. This is a contract year for him, isn't it? And the payroll, I believe, is something like $94 million still for the Orioles. It's still low. Even looking beyond those mega payrolls of the big cities, it's still well below people like Kansas City and St. Louis and places like that. So you've got to worry that he's there for the year and then he's off somewhere else who can afford him. Or do you think with new ownership now, they might finally put in a fair offer and raise that payroll? So that's sort of question one there. Yeah. And two, with regards to your guys in the minors, and like, I fully understand your frustration. I think every franchise wants to see the best players up there straight away. They don't care about contracts, do they? They care about putting the best product on the field at the time. We're quite lucky as Angels fans in some ways, and I would never really say this, but only because we bring our prospects up straight away. We don't have many of them, but there's been a fast-track process in Anaheim recently, whereas we're getting these high-end college guys, they're ready, they play 20 games in the minors, and then they're up in the major leagues. Because, to be quite frank, our minor league development isn't the best, and they can learn on the job there where we need them to. What I will say is, what you saw happen to the Orioles last year with that incredible season and then a sort of flame out in the playoffs, potentially this approach might work. Potentially keeping in the minors, keeping them fresh. We know rookies struggle towards the end of seasons generally on their first full year. Perhaps them coming up in June, July, and having that spark, even if it's August, is actually what the Orioles need when they go into the postseason, rather than from the start, where I think, honestly, the roster's looking pretty great anyway.
Yeah, that makes me remind me, actually, I'll do the second point first. It reminds me, I think our first really good team in the time I was watching in 2012, that came off the back of a decade of nearly two decades of losing seasons. And, you know, a young guy called Manny Machado came up with 6 weeks to go, never played in AAA, came directly from AA, and gave the whole operation a huge lift. So I think there's some scope there. I think just particularly with the case of Holiday, I mean, maybe you're right, because he's only 20. You know, he played at all levels of minor league last year. That's how quickly he got through. That maybe they won't fancy 160 games out of him. But yeah, I mean, so perhaps that's right. But as you know, as fans, we always want to see these exciting guys. I mean, we've got enough of them. I watch Gunnar Henderson all day. That's good enough for me. And then on payroll, I mean, I've always thought the Angels are a mid-market team that behave like they're a big market team. And we're a mid-market team that behave like we're a small market team. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it is frustrating. And, you know, payroll's 94 million. Last year it was 64 million. Mm-hmm. You know, season before that, even smaller, with the biggest chunk going to Chris Davis, who wasn't on the roster anymore. Like, it was really, as tanking goes, it was pretty shameless, yeah. You know, tearing off up of the operation. Now, I think I have more chance of pitching in Baltimore next year than Corbin Burnes. You know, there's just no chance we're doing a 4-5-6 year contract with a Scott Boras pitcher. It's just, I'd love it to happen. It's just not going to. So I think he'll be one and done. You know, it's not such a problem. As I say, we've got Rodriguez, who hopefully will take the next step. Kyle Bradish is great. John Means is great. There are other pitchers there. But the thing that Orioles fans are crying out for, and the biggest kind of question mark over the franchise and David Rubenstein coming as new owner, is those big multi-year extensions that teams are increasingly doing to their young guys. Like, so I don't, you know, I would love a big Corbin Burnes contract, but not a tenth as much as I'd want one for Gunnar Henderson. Right. You know, that's the one really. Rutschman's an interesting test case because, you know, he's a catcher. He catches a lot. You know, four-year college guy. You get old pretty early in baseball terms. So I don't know if he's someone you commit to for 10 years, although I can't see the franchise not being too risk averse. But Henderson, we really would want to see that deal done. To know that that's your guy you're going to build around, because the scars of losing Machado, who's such a joy to watch, are kind of still very real. And we want to know, there's no good reason in Baltimore that, you know, compared to other franchises, as you say, that every time you get a top guy, you should lose them. There's no good reason that should be the case. So we would like to see that happen. I don't think that's too much to ask, frankly.
Yeah, luckily, I mean, by the sounds of it, your new ownership actually has some impetus to make some positive moves. So I feel like there won't be much hesitation to extend some some key guys, which unfortunately we've seen with the Angels hasn't happened, and then lost them for nothing. So hopefully that doesn't happen to the Orioles as well.
Yeah, we've been there. It's, yeah, just not every time. I mean, it's a big contrast to the Ravens. You know, the Ravens are never really featuring free agency, and always, you know, the whole effort is about keeping our own guys, growing your own. And I think in baseball, because it takes so much to get, there's not many Nolan what's-his-names coming up, you know, as you say, instantly college straight up to the majors. You put so much time and energy into them, and then you let them walk. It's very frustrating.
Yeah, I can imagine. And as you said, with the Angels operating as they have been previously, at least spending money, we haven't had to see that too often. We gave Mike Trout a mega, mega deal. We've obviously thrown some money around in the past at Josh Hamilton, Anthony Rendon's coming in, big free agents as well. And I think actually Corbin Burnes is someone that every Angels fan has on his list for next year. He's a Southern Californian kid. I believe he grew up as an Angels fan. Not that it really matters too much when you're choosing a team, but we'll see how he does this year. But unfortunately, we're in a position where the ownership wants to reduce payroll. We haven't spent any money this offseason. We've sort of spoken about it earlier, Toby and I, just how really depressing it's been. And I know we're sort of, we're talking in such negative ways, and you know it fully. As an Orioles fan, it's one of the fan bases that can truly appreciate how it is to consistently lose. And we're in this period now, a 9-year playoff drought, and I'm sure it's going to be extended. It does get tough to keep going, but this time of year in March is when you have your optimism at least, and absolutely, you finally push everything aside, don't you? But I'm happy for you.
But the great thing in that is, though, you know, even whoever comes last is going to win 45 games. You know, yeah, a replacement level team is supposed to win 54. So any given, you know, certainly for ourselves in the UK, those Sunday games, I think, are always really good. So yeah, you've always got a chance. Like, and that's different to most sports. So there's a, that always kept me interested long enough that, you know, that you'd always, on any given night, there's a decent chance you would win, even if on a long enough timeline you won't win enough games or nearly enough.
Fully agree. And actually, it's really what I've said the last few years with the Angels as they are. It's all about moments. And we've had so, even though the team's been losing, we've had two MVPs from Shohei in the last 3 years. Yeah. So many special things happening with Trout, with Otani, with various other guys at Angel Stadium, that, yeah, the team was losing, and, yeah, it's been depressing. But you're right, you can still tune into a game and see something pretty monumental happening when Shohei's there.
I mean, Mike Trout's Ted Williams. Like, you know, that if you love the game, watching him would always be enough for me. I love him. I've always had a soft spot for the Angels, always want them to do well, because I want Trout to succeed. I want him to be in playoffs. I want him to be in World Series. I think he's, you know, he deserves that because he's such a good player, and he plays the game the way in which he does, what a kind of role model he is. I know that can be a bit overhyped, but he is a special, you know, special player, as I say, is right up there with, in the kind of upper echelons of the Hall of Fame. So, you know, you're always going to be able to find joy in that.
Absolutely. Couldn't have said it better myself, and just pray that he keeps healthy this year, which the last 4 years just hasn't done, and it is such a shame. But yeah, with Trout in there, anything is possible, and it is just always worth watching a Hall of Famer like that.
Yeah.
So if we get onto this series then coming up, you've touched on it, but I am worried, and I think Toby's worried about game one. Corbin Burnes against Patrick Sandoval. Now, I say Patrick Sandoval as our opening day starter. We don't really have an opening day starter. So he's just a guy amongst guys at this point in our rotation. I think we've sort of touched on it earlier, but there isn't a standout, and we need someone to come out of the pack. Sandoval had a great WBC for Mexico, really performed well, and we were expecting big things last year, but he just couldn't get his temper under control, to be quite honest. Once it started going a little bit wrong, he couldn't control it. So I don't see anything other than a big Orioles win on opening day, but you never know, do you?
No, and there'll be a lot of energy as we've spoken about, so that you know will suit the home team. You know, Burnes will be amped. Burnes hasn't had a brilliant spring training. Now, you know, there'll be many who say never look at spring training numbers. I'm not 100% convinced by that personally. But you know, nevertheless, it should be a very good, you know, the auguries are probably there for a home win. So, but it's baseball, so yeah. But I think there's a lot of confidence, that's for sure. The great thing about the Orioles you'll find is that the lineup goes 1-9. Like, some of the more under the radar guys, Ramon Urias is a great player. Tony Taters, as we call him, Anthony Santander in right field. Tony Taters is criminally underrated. So we've got, it's a very good side that generally, the Sandoval's lefty, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yes.
So that, because that was part of the reason for keeping Holiday down, was that we're seeing quite a few lefties in the first couple of weeks. So that's slight, you know, Gunnar obviously bats on the left side. Rutschman's a switch hitter, but has less power as a right-hander, but better contact, so pick your poison. But Tony Taters is a switch hitter. So lefties perhaps is a better matchup.
I was going to say, there is potential you could see three lefties against us.
Right.
I don't think it will happen, but there is definitely potential. I mean, our rotation last year was particularly left-hand heavy, but we still have three guys in there.
I generally would load left-handed starters against that Orioles lineup. Take Cedric Mullins out. You know, Cedric's a former switch hitter, but only bats left-handed now, and he's a bit of a spark plug guy. So taking him out's no bad thing. Colton Cowser, another rookie left-hander. So yeah, I think there's probably possibly some sense in that.
My guess is, but I haven't looked at what they were doing in spring and who's pitched when. I mean, I think our top three is probably Detmers and Canning, but they've just been pitching against the Dodgers. So we'll see how it all lines up. I probably could figure it out, but I haven't done yet. But it's going to be an interesting series. We played you early-ish last year. I think it was May. And actually, that was when we were quite high on the Angels. I think we split the series 2-2 in Camden Yards. You came to Anaheim in August, I think, and swept us there. But early in the season, it was an interesting matchup before the injuries really hit and when the Angels were playing some pretty good baseball. So I think, as with any opening weekend series, there is potential for it to go either way. The lineup here, I don't know how much you know about some of our young guys, to be honest, Alex.
Only what I followed kind of box score-wise, yeah.
So, yeah, we've got some interesting guys there. You mentioned Nolan Shanuel, but Zach Neto, Logan O'Hoppe. These are the young guys which are the future of the Angels franchise. That have got, I mean, Neto's had an unbelievable spring. I hope he's shown some real power. We got Miguel Sano back on the roster after a year off baseball for him. He's going to be starting at DH for us. So,
that's a name I haven't heard in a while.
Exactly.
You know that Ian Wright meme? I felt like that Ian Wright meme.
He looks like it as well. God,
wow, what a player.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so Sano will probably start against you. So there's some
potentially former Oriole from the back half of last year. Aaron Hicks might start.
Hicks is a great player.
He's had a brilliant spring as well. So he might lead and start in right field.
Like the joy, because the Yankees are paying him one more year, I would think.
Yeah, we're paying him minimum. So
the money that last year, you know, he was being paid to beat the Yankees was just so good. I mean, he's funny because I thought he was brilliant in Baltimore. He's one of those Statcast confounders in the, like, his overall slugging numbers are pretty good. His exit velocities are terrible.
Right.
So he looks, which is why I always thought he would work well in with that short porch in right field at Yankee Stadium. Because when you go to Fenway, which obviously has an absolute ocean out in right field, suddenly there's a lot of wounded ducks dying there. But in New York, he can still pop homers out. So great guy though. I saw that. I thought that's a great signing. Like really great glue guy. You know, loads of history. Just great player in Baltimore. We loved him.
Yeah, he seems to fit in really well. Had a really good spring and sort of pushed aside some of the young guys in Anaheim. We had last year. Mickey Moniak had a really really good year. We've got Mike Trout, obviously, in centre, and Taylor Ward will slot in there. He's another very good ball player, hopefully back to full health after a horrible facial injury last year. But Hicks has kind of come in there now and sort of pushed Moniak and Adele, because Joe Adele's still around as well. We're probably going to carry five outfielders going into the season. But yeah, interesting that he's coming back to Camden Yards.
He always seems to have an extra gear when he played the Yankees, because he wasn't treated very well in New York. I fear we may take the same approach to ourselves. I hope not. So, yeah, that's another X factor then.
Absolutely. So you obviously talked about the Yankees. It's a tough division you're in every year. How do you see it going this year? And is there anything more satisfying than finishing above the Yankees?
Yeah, it's great fun. I mean, one of the biggest things for us was going from 17 divisional games to, 13 now. You know, that... dropping four games each from, you know, the Yankees, the Rays, the Jays, and obviously Red Sox are up and down, but you're never glad to see them. You're certainly never glad to go to Fenway. So that's been a huge help for us. I mean, there's always, you know, the one of them is always really good. The Blue Jays flatter to deceive, but the Rays just never, just when you think it's over, it never is. Obviously, the Yankees have gone ballistic this this off-season too, so it's going to be a tough division. The teams are all going to beat up on each other. I mean, one of the great curiosities that we've got hanging over from last season is that we're on a historical, I think we're up to the second greatest streak in history of not losing series. And that's one of those, as I say, I'm generally sceptical of most things in baseball as being repeatable or not. That, I think, speaks a little bit to management. You know, Brandon Hyde, you know, is a big kind of confounder of received wisdom in the sense that the owner that take the sorry the skipper that takes you through the rebuild never gets to the good bit, but he's kind of always hung around, you know, big kind of locker room guy, and I think that speaks to some of that resilience. So whoever we play, we're always a tough out. So I can't think that we're likely to get swept too often. So yeah, difficult division. I still would put us as favourites though. You know, we've got a really strong lineup. The pitching's behind the hitting, but there's some starting pitching. There's some decent back end of the bullpen. The middle's soft. But there's loads of horses to come, as we've talked about. But also at the trade deadline, there's good reason to think we can be active there too. So, yeah, I think, you know, we would start rightly as favourites.
We've probably got a few guys you can pick up from our bullpen by then. So.
Well, if you've got anyone like Kyle Bradish, we'll have that again.
Well, yeah, we'll never regret that. Not the Lord Bundy years. He gave us some good times.
Great, but it never quite happened. He was a phenom in the minors. Never quite happened for him in Baltimore, but I was quite sad when it didn't work out. I mean, is he still, he's still playing this season, is he, somewhere?
I think so. I'm not sure where he is now, but he was knocking about.
His stuff doesn't play with a low 90s fastball. Just he hasn't, the secondary offerings just aren't there. And he got injured and it just never quite came back for him. But yeah, but another crossover player.
It's a real shame, but we liked it. It looks like he's still a free agent now. He was with the Twins last year, but doesn't look like he's signed. So maybe I'm sorry, Will, but maybe when you need another rotation arm some point during the year, he'll be coming back.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, Alex, finally, let's give a prediction for the year. So prediction for the Orioles record and then who is winning the World Series this year?
So I think we'll win 90 games. I've pinned my colours to that mast. I don't really fancy anyone in the National League. Maybe Atlanta's hard to look past in the National League, aren't they? So maybe an Orioles-Braves World Series with the O's winning in six.
There we go. You heard it here first.
It could be a longer season, I'm afraid, in Anaheim. I think my critique, not to extend the segment too long, but my critique would be that it's never clear whether you're rebuilding or contending. And Billy Beane would always say, you're either doing one or the other or you're wasting your time. And I mean, I think there's quite a case to trade Trout if he plays all the way up to the trade deadline. I know that's sacrilegious, but, you know, just to get all that talent that you can into the minors, because it does come good in the end, I think. So,
I don't think there's any chance of trading Trout now, but we should have traded Otani. We said it. I said it for a year and a half, so. 2 years that he should have gone and he didn't. Yeah. And you're fully spot on with where the state of the Angels are. I know Toby's nodding there as well.
Yeah, we've kind of wasted a lot of our breath saying that we have no idea the direction of the franchise. I don't think they even know. So it's good to see that the outside fans have noticed it as well. Hopefully something happens.
Great.
Exactly. Well,
thanks for having me.
No, thanks very much, Alex. Really appreciate coming on. And what are your opening day plans before we go?
Oh, yeah, I'm so excited about this. Like, so, I mean, it'll be me on the sofa with the dog and a couple of beers, but, you know, I had a sort of a thing last year. As I say, my friend Alex passed away. So I marked that then with a beer and I'll do the same tomorrow. It's why I was so desperate for it to start on time, because 8 o'clock UK time is just heaven on earth. You know, you've done everything you need to do. You can have a few beers. I'll probably about it. I'll have I'll have the Premier League darts on my iPad next to as well, you know, because, I mean, and that, if you can't tell me, watching the baseball with the darts on the side, I mean, that's living. Like,
perfect. That is the dream.
And yeah, it's going... a 7:05 start tomorrow because our clocks haven't gone forward yet. So it's a 3:05 Eastern. So at the minute, that's a 4-hour time zone difference. So it's 7:05 start tomorrow, hopefully.
I can't believe the hardship you've just saved me because I would have missed that. I absolutely would have missed that. So there we go. I was hoping it might be on BT Sport, but it seemingly it isn't, I don't think.
It's a shame, but that's probably our fault rather than yours. We're not the most desirable team to be watching this year, I don't think, without show.
And in fact, one more thing I've got to get on the record, sorry before I go. if you do have any viewers who are political, my colleague Ed Miliband, of course, is a huge Boston Red Sox fan. And I'll be honest, that's all he and I ever talk about is the state of our relative AL East team. So the opening series last season, or certainly very early on, we lost because we dropped a pop-up in the outfield and then the next pitch went for a multi-run home run. And I never heard the end of that for weeks and weeks. So surely we'll finish above the Red Sox and give me the
You've got to, haven't you? They seem in a bit of disarray like us this year. Yeah. But I know Ed actually went on the Batflips and Nerds podcast a few years ago, which is a British baseball podcast as well. So I know he's big and we'll keep this going. Maybe we'll try and get him on during the Red Sox.
He loves it, so you never know. I'll talk to him about that.
Yeah, I'll give him a shout. Great. Cheers, Alex. All the best. Have a good opening day and opening series and bank holiday weekend. And I hope you have a good year.
Cheers. See you then.
Thanks, Alex.